Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today's show is about several changes that have taken place in Indiana's Medicaid waiver program, and it can be confusing. But here to explain what these changes mean to people with disabilities and their families is the ARC of Indiana's manager of the ARC Network, Jill Ginn. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Michelle.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
It is confusing. Talk a little bit about what's going on here.
Okay, with I'd be happy to. Indiana made several changes to their developmental disabilities waivers. In the past, there had been three waivers that were administered through the Bureau of Developmental Disabilities Services, commonly called the BEDS office. Indiana had the autism waiver, the DD waiver, and the support services waiver.
Okay.
And so the initial probably major change is that two of those waivers were combined into one. Mm-hmm. The autism waiver and the DD waiver became the CIH waiver. That stands for Community Integration and Habilitation. And the support services waiver is now called the Family Supports waiver. In the past, all of the developmental disabilities waivers were assigned on a first-come, first-served basis.
Okay.
So the Bureau of Developmental Disabilities had a very long waiting list. It was a statewide waiting list. It had thousands of people waiting for services. Because the Indiana Medicaid waiver program for home and community-based services is not an entitlement program. In contrast, Medicaid health insurance, if you meet financial eligibility, is an entitlement program, which means if you meet the eligibility criteria, you begin services very quickly as soon as you move through that eligibility process.
Okay.
The waiver is not an entitlement program, which means that it's a program that's available for individuals who meet the eligibility criteria in Indiana, but Indiana is not required to give those services to everyone who meets the eligibility level immediately.
Okay.
That allows for there to be a waiting list. So Indiana designates a certain amount of money for that program, and they assign that they provide services to as many people as they can. Based upon the amount of money that's been designated to the home and community-based services waivers.
Okay.
So in the past, all of those DD waivers had been assigned to people on a first-come, first-served basis. Now, Indiana has decided, the Family and Social Services Administration made some changes to how they assign waivers in Indiana. The Family Support Waiver still remains a first-come, first-served basis.
Okay.
So the next person on the waiting list, when more money is available, the next person on the waiting list is targeted or notified that that there is now funding available for them to start services. Mm-hmm. For the CIH waiver, rather than being a first-come, first-served basis, meaning those who have waited the longest would be next in line,
right,
it is now being assigned based on just some individual criteria. I think the purpose behind making these changes is that approximately four people can receive services under the Family Support Waiver for the same amount of money as an average DD waiver cost in the past.
Okay.
And so Indiana has rationed care in terms of who we provide waiver services to for a long time. In the past, we rationed it by saying we can only provide services to a few people and you just have to wait in line. And that waiting list had gotten to be as long as 12 years. Now Indiana has changed how they're assigning waivers. And basically what they've decided is we can give a little bit of help to a lot of people who have had no services or very limited services in the past, who have been waiting and are thrilled with the idea that instead of a waiting list being 10 to 12 years long, the Bureau of Developmental Disabilities has projected that they will get to everyone on the waiting list. They will be able to assign a family support waiver to them in about half that time.
Okay.
Now, that's an estimate.
Sure.
But if you're a family that isn't getting any kind of assistance at all, the difference between 12 years and 5 years can be huge.
Sure. Let's hypothesize here. Let's say someone already has a family support waiver, but they're thinking, I need more care than what the family support waiver can provide. What can they do?
I think it would apply either for someone who is on the waiting list and gets into a very difficult situation, or for those who are on the family support waiver, because there is, once you have the family support waiver, there is no waiting list anymore. There used to be you could stay on a waiting list for the DD waiver. Now that there's a CIH waiver, there is no waiting list for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you feel like your loved one needs a lot more help than is available on the family support waiver, really the first thing to do is contact your service coordinator at the Bureau of Developmental Disabilities Services office to talk about what's happening in your loved one's life. Right now, the CIH waiver, which they're saying is based on need, the state has some categories that they're using to determine whether somebody might be eligible for some additional support, okay? Those categories include someone whose health or welfare is being threatened in the setting in which they live, someone who is transitioning to the community from a nursing facility or other large facility setting, someone who is determined to no longer need or be appropriate to receive treatment in a group home, someone who has lost their primary caregiver due to death or incapacitation, someone who's living with an aging primary care provider who's 80 or older, and then there are some various emergency placements as well. We are working with the state, working with Family and Social Services to really look at what that process is for determining who gets those CIH waivers. The number has been reduced. The number that they'll be assigning for a given year has been reduced. And they have these broad categories, but there doesn't seem to be a clearly defined pathway or procedure that's being followed to determine who exactly would be eligible for those limited number of spaces. As an organization, we're really advocating for the state that that process needs to be clearly defined.
Sure.
What steps do you take if you feel like you need additional help? And what are the steps they're taking to determine who are the top, you know, why would my situation perhaps be why would I be more appropriately served with a CIH waiver than someone else mm-hmm. and in their situation?
Now let's talk a little bit. You were talking about how children and adults that are in school and transition out of school, how does the waiver help with
sure.
that?
Sure. In schools and in the disability field, we call that transition.
Yes.
Okay. And a school setting, quote unquote, transition, which has to do with your IEP, starts at age 14.
Okay.
With disability services, they're probably looking more at somebody who's approaching 18
mm-hmm.
To that 24 age range. And then specifically in terms of the developmental disability waiver services, in Indiana right now, if a young adult has been on the waiting list or qualifies for waiver services, then they can potentially get a family support waiver and get that assistance without waiting on the waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
And so to do that, they need a family or an individual needs to contact their local Bureau of Developmental Disabilities Services office.
Oh, good.
And find out if they are eligible for an 18 to 24 year old slot, you know, without waiting.
Okay.
I guess, for the waiver services.
Good. Let's talk a little bit about what parents who are looking into the waiver services and applying for these services, how does the ARC help them look for these things and who to contact and
okay,
all
specifically
of that?
For the waiver, is
yes.
that what you're asking?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Again, it's the local Bureau of Developmental Disabilities Services office
okay.
that administers or maintains the waiting list
okay.
and determines eligibility, okay? So for families who aren't on the waiting list or who need to find out if their child's eligible, the first step would be finding out where their local Bureau of Developmental Disabilities Services office is. That information is available on the Family and Social Services state website.
Mm-hmm.
It is also, all that information is available on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Which is www.arcind.org. Or they can call us here at the ARC. That number is 317-977-2375.
Mm-hmm.
They can ask to speak to an advocate or they can ask for me directly. and we'll certainly talk to them about the process, who they need to contact, what they need to do. And we can even help explain the forms and help with, you know, what exactly, what materials do you need to gather and what are the steps that you need to take.
So when you call to apply for a waiver, Jill, then what can you expect the steps to be?
Sure. So when you call the Bureau of Developmental Disabilities Services office, they're going to mail you a packet of forms. And there will be a sheet that has directions for all of those forms on the front. Probably the most important thing for people to know right now is that the actual application for services is a new form. So that there's a brand new application that people need to complete.
Okay.
The good thing is that it's much shorter Woo-hoo! Than the two forms in the past. Yeah. That's great. It's a simpler form, less information. One thing that's been added to the process is there's a state form that is called the 450B like boy, the 450B. That form is a form that the family needs to take to their family physician or pediatrician.
Okay.
And basically that doctor is certifying that the individual has a developmental disability. Prior to this fall, the 450B did not have to be done until you were the next person in line ready to start services.
Okay.
But when they changed the application form, they added this step to the process.
Okay.
And so, when you're just initially applying for the waiting list now, you also have to have that form completed by your child's doctor. There are a couple other forms in the packet. One of them is the understanding your HIPAA privacy, okay, how the state's going to handle that. The other form is understanding that anytime the Bureau of Developmental Disabilities makes a determination for eligibility, that you have the right to formally appeal.
Okay.
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 So they ask you to sign all of those forms with your application. And so that's what's included in the packet. So, and then the other thing that families need to know is that they are also expected to provide copies of other records for their loved one.
Okay.
Those records would include things like a copy of the most recent IEP, Individual Education Plan, mm-hmm. their school plan. Copies of the most recent psychological or diagnostic testing that indicated the disability and what the, a more complete assessment of the individual. It could include letters from your doctor, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so the, you know, copies of those records, families are expected to include those in the application packet when they apply for the waiver.
So you've gone through all this process, you've done all the paperwork. Does that automatically qualify you for a waiver?
It actually doesn't.
Oh.
So you're filling out all those forms and providing the documentation, and then there's an initial process to determine if you're eligible for the waiting list.
Okay.
So I think of it or describe it as a quick review to see if you meet the basic requirements to be on the waiting list. They will go through the eligibility process more completely, and again, when you're the next person in line for the waiver. They will always do it both times. They'll determine, are you eligible? Can we reasonably expect that you'll be eligible without they're not certifying that you're eligible at the time, because changes can happen
right.
in the next 4 to 5 years.
Right.
But they're going through that initial process to see if you meet kind of the basic eligibility criteria to even be on the waiting list.
Okay.
But when they put you on the waiting list, it is with the understanding that that's not a final decision about your eligibility.
Okay.
That is redetermined at the time that you're next in line for services.
Talk a little bit about what you have on the ARC website then to assist families with Medicaid waivers and the info that they need.
Sure. Again, at the ARC of Indiana website, which is www.arcind.org, we have a pull-down menu that says Help for Families, and there's a number of different categories on that website with information and links to other organizations and information that can assist families. And then the last thing I'd like to mention is one of the best ways to know what's going on at the ARC of Indiana, what's happening at the State House.
Sure
the
does.
Best way to find those things out is to sign up for our e-newsletter. And there is a button at the top of the first page of our website. It says sign up for the e-newsletter. It is also easy to sign up for legislative action alerts. Those emails are just one email per week. Our electronic newsletter, you get one email on the weekend, everything that's going on at the Arc of Indiana, lots of information about things that are going on for people with disabilities around the state. It's a great way to stay informed.
So again, thank you so much for your work in behalf of people with disabilities. And I love working with you. And I know that families will be encouraged to meet you. And you are a wonderful, wonderful person. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
And thank you guys for listening today. Have a great day today, everybody. Bye-bye.